All right, folks, welcome to Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind in Pensacola, Florida, and thank you for joining us. We've decided for the next few broadcasts, we've been doing this broadcast for some time on the Creation Science Hour, that we're going to videotape our broadcast and make this available because my son Eric and I are going to be discussing some of the anti-Hovind websites.
Oh, what fun.
What fun. You're going to be inheriting the ministry. We're going to be inheriting the ministry responsibilities at least one of these days. And
it's kind
so
of scary.
After I'm dead and gone, you're going to have to be the one that takes all the anti-Hovind websites.
Yeah,
I'm
you've sure made a lot of enemies out there, Dad. I don't know about that.
I'm not the least bit nervous about it. Okay. If you type in Kent Hovind on a search engine like Google or something like that, you will come up with about nearly 1,000 hits. Many of these websites are people who don't like us for some reason.
Yeah.
We've been doing this full-time ministry on creation evolution for about 15 years. I have. And we try to always, at the beginning of the broadcast, state our position and what we're trying to accomplish. I taught high school science 15 years. Eric went to college in Jackson Hole, Wyoming for 1 year, concentrated study just on creation, and then went to Tennessee Temple and has now been traveling and speaking how long?
4.5 years.
4.5 years, speaking on creation and evolution and dinosaurs. And you only had one debate so far, right?
One debate, and it was a good one, I gotta say. It was awesome.
I debated the guy.
Ben Wagner was his name.
Ben Wagner in Arkansas, and then and it was quite a slaughter. And
yeah.
Then when the church called back and said, can you debate him again, I said, no, I'm already full for that time, but maybe my son could do it. And how'd it work out there?
Oh, it worked out great, I tell you what. I mean, just when you're right, when you have the right answers, there's no doubt about it, it's easy to win. When you're right, it's easy to win.
And after that debate, he decided he's not going to debate anymore.
Yeah, at the very end, he closed that debate by saying, just to let you know, this will be the last debate I ever do. He was not interested in debating again.
It was fun.
We tried very hard not to make fun of him at all, but just to
just what they
make
believe.
Fun of the science, the evolution that they believe in.
Our position is the Bible is literally true, scientifically accurate. The world was created in 6 literal days, about 6,000 years ago. The evolution theory, currently being taught at taxpayer expense in our schools, is one of the dumbest and most dangerous ideas in the history of the world. Anybody that believes they came from a rock needs some real serious help. And that's what we're here for. We're here to help.
We want to help, no doubt about it.
We have what you need. So tune in and join us. We are we have Dinosaur Adventureland here in our backyard, and we have lots of kids come all the time. And so we just closed at 5 o'clock 4 minutes ago. And so you're welcome to come down and visit our Dinosaur Adventureland here in Pensacola if you come. You'll have the time of your life.
Awesome place to check out. 200-foot cable slides, 50-foot rope swing, climbing wall, Congo Trail, fossil dig pit. You got to come check out Dinosaur Adventureland.
Brand new Dinosaur Adventureland water.
Yes, from the time of the dinosaurs, just a couple thousand
billion years ago. No.
And you can have $1 off. You buy the water for a dollar and get a dollar off.
Get the water for 75 and get a dollar off. You can't beat a deal.
You can't beat a deal.
Pay you a quarter to come.
Wow.
Okay. What we're going to do, the first website that comes up is the website called from geocities.com/Kent Hovind. So if you'd like to go to geocities.com/Kent Hovind, assuming by the time you watch this videotape, if you get the tape, that he is still brave enough to keep this site up there, I suspect it'll be gone by then, I would hope. It's been up for a long time. I would suspect years. We have contacted the host of the site, Carl Mary Church, in Australia. And for the last week, Jonathan over here has been corresponding with him, inviting him to be on the program. He's welcome to call in. What we're going to do today is limit the calls to only related to some of the anti-Hovind websites, this one in particular at first. We're going to gradually go through as many as we can and finally answer some of the critics. I get thousands of emails here, about 1,500 a week, actually. And frequently somebody writes in and says, hey, I notice there's a lot of anti-Hovind sites. Why don't you answer them? Well, Abe Lincoln in the Civil War was asked the question, why don't you answer your critics? He said, there's a war going on. I'm going to fight the war. He said, history will tell whether I was right or not. So, why waste time?
More important. That's exactly right.
They don't want an answer anyway. When you do speak at churches and stuff, you have Q&A time, like I do, and you have skeptics come and ask dumb questions sometimes. And my analysis is, they don't want an answer.
No, they definitely don't. They don't want an answer. I think there's basically three types of people. Those that believe in creation, those that are not sure, and those that believe in evolution. It's very difficult to talk to those that believe in evolution if you believe in creation because they really don't want an answer.
They like their theory.
They really do.
Yeah,
and so the best thing you can do is talk to those that are unsure, those that are genuinely seeking the truth. And when you genuinely seek the truth, there's no doubt about it, you're going to come to the creation side because
right.
That's what we did.
But then, see, you don't just come to the creation side because then that involves a creator. which might involve some rules.
Yeah.
Like the thou shalt not. That's exactly what they're trying to avoid. So we're going to notify as we go through some of these major sites that have been up for years talking bad about Kent Hovind. We're going to notify the host if we can get a hold of them well ahead of time, saying you're welcome to call in and be on the program, or you're welcome to AOL Instant Message us. Our screen name is Dr. Dino Live, if you have AOL Instant Message, or go to our website, Dr. Dino, and then go to the Creation Science Hour icon on the front page, and then AOL Instant Message. And Jonathan will get it and hand it to us with his handy little dinosaur, and he will hand us the AOL Instant Message. But we would like to limit it. Normally, we just take any questions on the topic of creation evolution, but for tonight, and maybe for the next couple of times, we'd like to take it on, oh, there we go, the dinosaur. Questions on the anti-Hovind site, particularly the one, geocities.com/Kent Hovind. Okay, so I'm going to read a few things off the site. If you're not watching, I'll try to record exactly here.
Let me say, those of you that are AOL Instant Messaging, we are going to save those questions till the second half of the hour. First of all, we're just going to be dealing with the anti-Hovind sites.
Okay, here we go. Carl Mary Church writes, he's invited to call in. In his introduction, he says, the purpose of this site is to analyze the logic and science used in the presentations of a creation science evangelist named Kent Hovind. At the right, got my picture there. Good
and
picture, by the way.
He's right. That's what he says right there. He says he's right. So.
I'm still using the high school graduation picture. Worked good for 30 years. Why change? This analysis will mainly focus on objective issues, science issues related to Kent Hovind seminar. Carl, you said in your correspondence to Jonathan you would correct any mistakes in this website. I would suggest maybe before the word Kent Hovind you add the word to, T-O. Have a typo there. Proper English would call for the word to. Okay. Science issues related to Kent Hovind seminars. There will not be analysis of Hovind's theological position, communist conspiracies, New World Order, or Mark of the Beast claims. See conspiracy quotes. He's got a link there. The basis of young earth creation science is a literal interpretation of the book of Genesis from the Christian Bible. The known universe, planets, stars, animals, and ultimately humans, it is suggested, were supernaturally created in 6 literal days around 4000 BCE.
Hold it. Let me stop you right there. Right there he says BCE.
Right.
What is he talking about there?
Before the Common Era. What do you think it ought to be?
When I grew up in school, we always called it BC. That's what we learned, BC.
Yeah, this is a subtle way they try to leave Christ out.
Before Christ is what it really should be.
All over the textbooks, and I have thousands of textbooks all around there. We're in the middle of the library here. They are changing it. In the last probably, it's depending on the publisher, last 5 to 8 years, it's now becoming all BCE instead of BCE.
Doing everything BCE. They can to get Christ out of
it.
Wow.
Anyway, Mr. Mary Church writes, approximately 2300 BCE, the world was supposedly destroyed by a global flood except for a selection of animals and 8 humans aboard the largest wooden boat ever constructed. Now, Carl, I would change that. Ever constructed up to that time. Okay, there have been quite a few wooden boats by the Chinese, apparently, constructed much larger than Noah's Ark after that time. So I would add the phrase up to the time. Okay. Obviously, young earth creationism is in conflict with mainstream science in general. Let me stop right there and say, I don't think that's quite correct. There may be some scientists who are in conflict with young earth creationism, but all of the ones that are right believe in young earth creationism.
That's correct.
So it's only the ones that are wrong that don't believe in that. And there are thousands, literally thousands of scientists who are young earth creationists, or certainly creationists. Every branch of science was started by creationists, not by evolutionists. Evolution is a useless theory.
It really hasn't done anything to even help out science. It's done more to hinder it than it's done to ever help it.
Yeah. You know, if it's true, it's useless.
Yeah, they're trying so hard to prove this one theory. Scientific method would simply say, you know, you got a problem. How did we get here? You form a hypothesis, then you gather evidence. Well, they haven't found any evidence. There's been no evidence whatsoever.
We've been offering $250,000 for a long time for proof for evolution. Do you get this when you go speak at seminars? Ask, what about this offer?
Yeah, what about the offer? I think he just got
coming up
later
now.
On the site.
Yeah. We'll get to there, Carl. Hang on. He says, I have offered Kent Hovind the opportunity of an unedited, unlimited length right to reply to be hosted on this site. So far, he has ignored the offer. Well, Carl, let me explain why, okay? I have other things to do, okay? I don't think you want an answer anyway, number one. Number two, nobody cares what you think, all right?
Plus, you can't type all that fast.
Plus, I type about 12 words a minute with nine mistakes, right.
Columbus style. Find it
so
random.
I can talk fast. I can think on my feet fast or on my seat, for that matter. But I don't type very fast. So I'm not about to get into an email debate. I've said that clearly on my website. I'm not interested in an email debate. I will take you on face-to-face if I come to Australia, where you are, if you want to come to the States. I've got a standing offer to debate any number of evolutionists simultaneously with half my brain tied behind my back.
Still,
he was the one when it was 2-1 in Missouri.
I wasn't there, but I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious. They said, well, we'll debate Kenhoven if it could be 2 of us. I said, it could be 10 of you. Honestly, if you want to schedule a debate someplace, that'd be wonderful. I have 2 conditions I ask for. If there's 10 of them and 1 of me, that's perfectly fine, but I want half the time.
Right. Equal time. That's,
equal time.
That's obvious.
I don't care which of their 10 answers the question. Secondly, I want one topic at a time. I don't want them bringing up 30 topics. I have time to answer 4, and so it looks like
he doesn't know the rest.
Doesn't know the rest. Yeah, when I do, I just don't have time to answer them all. So half the time and one topic at a time, you bring the whole science department from any university you've got, bring in anybody you want to help. So, Carl, if you're wondering why I have ignored your offer, I've already clearly said I don't get involved in email debates, number one. Number two, I don't have time. I don't think most people care what you think. I just today, for the first time, looked at your website I think I spent about 3 minutes on it one time a few months ago. And I said, this guy needs some help, and that's why we're here to help you. We're going to help you tonight. Okay.
Sure.
And then I went to your comments. People are writing in comments. There are, how many comments, Jonathan? 13 or 14 pages of, I can't hear your mic, I think. He's at 40,000 hits on his site. And just to the comments page or just to his site in general?
That is,
okay. We've had X number of million hits to our site, okay? So.
And many of those sites, aren't they simply just copying the information and kind of making their own site with it?
They're part of a big chain.
It's a big chain of anti-Hoven sites. You can go to next, and it goes to the next one automatically at the bottom of his site here. We'll get to that.
It's pretty much the exact same stuff.
So I've ignored your offer because I don't have time, and I don't care, and I don't think most people care what you think on the topic. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but, you know, that's the way it is, okay? I have other things to do, okay? Okay. It says, I've also offered to correct any errors or misunderstandings. Neither Hoven nor his staff has attempted to identify any.
He says, neither Hoven nor his staff have not attempted to identify any, which would mean we have attempted to identify
That's
any.
True, have not. I tried to read the proper English in there instead of what it says. Okay.
Got another one for you to fix. Take out that word not if you want to have it correct.
Neither have not attempted to identify. Maybe that's the way they speak in Australia, Eric.
That's a good point.
We were over there, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
They do talk kind of funny.
You don't ask for a napkin, I know that.
That's for sure.
And your diaper.
That's a diaper. Yeah, I was at the restaurant. I don't want a napkin. Okay. Okay, so the reason we haven't attempted to identify any, I haven't even read it, okay? I have lots to do. I get thousands of phone calls and emails, and I'd rather go talk to somebody who wants to hear the truth. And I'm suspecting from what little bit I've read, you don't really want to hear it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because I think you need it, whether
Here
you want it or not.
Okay. Here's the answer.
Here's the answer. Oh, okay. He says, more observant readers may have noticed I have not given my name. Oops. I already told him it's Carl Mary Church. Even that may be a screen name. I've noticed a lot of these atheists are scared to give their name. They're anonymous, you know. They can remain anonymous behind their website and, you know, nobody knows who they are. Like they're afraid I'm going to go do something to them, you know.
There are some weird people out there, though.
There are some weird people. Look, I'm your friend. Honestly, I'm here to help, okay? He's noticed I'm not given my name. I've done this deliberately for numerous reasons. Who I am is quite irrelevant. Unlike Hoven, I have no intention of operating a cult of personality.
What in the world are you talking about?
This is one of those backhanded slaps you get all the time by the atheists, you know.
Yeah.
They accuse you of things. A cult of personality. Are we trying to build a cult?
I certainly don't think so.
You've been, you've known me for
25 years.
25 years. And are we trying to build a name for ourselves or a, that you know of?
Definitely not. The whole reason we exist is simply to glorify the kingdom of God, is to glorify Christ and to see more people come to the realization and to come to the truth of the fact that God is the creator. Jesus Christ was his son, is his son. And he really did truly come on this earth and die. And so that's the whole purpose of this, is to show people
show them
the reason that he did that.
And we take on all kinds of unpopular subjects in our seminar precisely because I don't care what anybody thinks. What does God think? What does his book say? And that's end of story.
Exactly.
If it upsets my wife, I still stick with the truth.
It's upset her more than once.
Okay. So if it upsets my own family, I'm going to stick with the truth. What is the truth? Okay. We don't care what another dinosaur coming in here. Yay, Jonathan. All right. So you've not given your name, Carl. I apologize. I've already given Carl Mary Church's name out a couple times. He doesn't, let's say, a cult personality. Carl, you need to remove that, okay? Because you're implying that I have, implying nothing, you're saying that I have an intention to operate a cult of personality. This is baloney. You're either mistaken or you're lying, okay? Take that line out. He goes on and says, judging by some of the strange emails I occasionally receive, I feel safer not having miscellaneous oddballs knowing too many of my personal details. Well, Carl, my name, address, and phone number is on everything we produce, as far as I know. If it's not, it's an oversight. We intend for it to be. Not because I'm developing a cult personality. I want people to be able to contact me if they have a question. Because in America, I don't know about Australia, but in America, you have a right to face your accusers.
That's right, yeah.
So if somebody's accusing me of something, like you've done on your website here, then you should face your accusers. You get a right to defend yourself, which I'm going to do here on this broadcast today, and this will be on videotape, available on the website, by the way, for everybody in the world to watch. And your 39,000 viewers are a drop in the bucket compared to the millions and millions we get on our site. So, and yours comes up right after mine. I mean, you type in Kent Hovind, his comes up first. So the other anti-Hovind websites are getting even less attention. So in one sense, it doesn't matter what they say, but I do get emails frequently saying, hey, I read this. What do you think? Why don't you respond? So I'm going to do this once and forget it. I'm not going to dwell on this, believe me. I have other things to do. Our philosophy is, if I've got to plant a garden to feed my family for the winter, half my yard is good dirt, half my yard is hard rock. I'm going to go ahead and plant the good dirt first. If I have time, I'll work on the rock. If I don't, oh well. At least I got a crop coming in. So I don't waste a lot of time on atheists. They don't want to be plowed, okay?
We just got an instant message from Fierce312, and he says, you guys are speaking with a lot of anger behind your words.
Anger behind the words.
I want it to be noted that I don't think we're angry at all with Carl or whoever it really is behind this site. We just simply want the truth to be known. We feel like it's a coward trying to come up and attack what's going on, and we're here defending the truth.
Well, I understand the criticism. I get that occasionally. Honestly, I am angry at those who, especially when I debate professors, when I realize they are taking tax dollars to destroy the faith of kids coming through their class. Go sit in a public university. Go sit in a class where they teach evolution and watch how they ridicule Christians.
Yeah.
If I was going to go into Nazi Germany 50 years ago and rescue some Jews from a concentration camp, I would have a hard time being nice to the guards.
That would be difficult.
It would be difficult, okay. I don't want to have to hurt them, but sometimes you have to hurt them, okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to really smite the scorner so the simple will beware, like it says in Proverbs.
There's a lot of people that will learn from that.
Right. Because I really do want to help Carl and other atheists or evolutionists out. I really do, honestly. That's my heart. And I think we've proven that. We've given out thousands of videotapes all over to people. Yeah. We've never copyrighted our material. And if anybody would be affected by that, it would be my children who, if there was anything to inherit, would someday inherit it. And their position would be, well, Dad, we ought to make money off of this stuff. You know, you've poured a lot of research into this. And sorry, there won't be anything to inherit. Go build your own ministry, okay?
Plus, the stuff is available on free on our website, drbanner.com.
Sure. But it is a good point, and I don't want anybody – I do come across angry once in a while. I guess I am a little bit angry about some of this, but the goal is to win them. But also, at the same time, I don't want to allow them to continue destroying the faith of others.
Right.
Websites like this might cause an honest seeker to write me off. Oh, break time. So join us, folks. If you want to call in or AOL instant message us, we'll be back on the air in just a moment. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind and my son Eric talking about some of the anti-Hovind websites. We're getting lots of AOL instant messages saying we're not being mean to the guy, but I understand. I do get criticized for being mean. One quick story, and then we'll go on. Prophets of Baal, Elijah. Elijah killed 850 prophets of Baal. That's mean.
That's definitely mean.
Wow. I don't want to kill a primary church. I want to win to the Lord, and I would never kill anybody unless they were threatening my family. You know, self-defense is the only time I would ever do it. So, Carl, you're perfectly safe. I'm sorry if you feel mean, if feel like I've been mean. Oh, another message. Jonathan and the Dinosaur. Good. Okay. He has quite a few things. If you go to the geocities.com/Kent Hovind, the second thing that comes up is, I had it here a second ago. Oh, here it is. Home. Was, who is Kent Hovind? In there, he has links to quite a few things, which are linked later in this. So I'm going to skip that one and go to the third one, the $250,000 challenge. And I'm going to read this right off his website and then answer, give responses. This tape or program is to respond to the critics. By the way, we're getting lots of AOL instant messages that are unrelated to the purpose of today's program. So I'm sorry, we're going to save those to last. If we get to them, we will.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try. And I know, I apologize, you're listening, I know, to the program, and
we're just going to continue on for a few more minutes on this Anti-Hoping website for the...
Because I get a chance to defend myself. Okay. The $250,000 challenge. You on that one?
Okay.
Okay. Following is analysis of Hovind's $250,000 challenge. The text of Hovind is quoted from, and it links to my offer, which is on my website, Dr. Dino. Hovind's words are in bold. Seasoned Hovind watchers. Seasoned Hovind watchers. Wow. Seasoned Hovind watchers. Oh, anyway. May notice that he has removed references to some of the more controversial aspects of the challenge. Well, Carl, what I've done, I've tried to refine it so people, some of the people of lower IQ out there who don't understand the challenge will be able to understand it. We've just tried to make it easier for them to understand. Because some of the stuff that's come in to accept the $250,000 challenge is so dumb.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering,
ridiculous, yeah.
How are they not understanding this? You know, we've probably only had, I think, probably 10 over the years, even attempts at the challenge. Almost all of them, they write in and say, well, what bank is it in? What's the bank account number?
Yeah.
Who's in charge? You know, our word is good. If I make a promise, I will do it.
And I can vouch for that as his son. There's no doubt about it. My dad's an honest man, and the gentleman, the friend of ours, definitely has the money. Okay?
The guy who's backing it up.
He's
this
loaded.
This would be pocket change. Okay.
Yeah.
So $250,000. He offered, as soon as I printed thousands of dollars worth of, you know, stuff advertising the $250,000 offer, he called and said, hey, let's make it $1 million. I said, forget it. I've already got thousands of dollars in printing.
We'll leave it at that. There's no reason to go farther.
It could be $250 million, though, for that matter. Okay. Let's see. Seasoned Hovind watchers, notice he's removed some of the more controversial aspects of the challenge. Honestly, Carl, I'm trying to be fair. I really want to see evidence for evolution. I'm so convinced there is none, zero. There is no evidence for this theory, which is why I try to carefully define it. And if we have to, you know, modify it to make it more understandable, I will. He says, I will be highlighting where Hovind has been less than explicit in his terms. A list of past and present challengers is included at the end of this article. Here's the analysis of the present version of Hovind's challenge. And he has bold, if you're reading on the website, he has my stuff bolded and then his response. He says, $250,000 to anyone who can give empirical evidence, scientific proof for evolution, and an asterisk. Notice, Mary Church writes, notice the little star. Hovind is working with a very broad definition of evolution. While most people would have thought his challenge was in regards to biological evolution, this would be a misconception. Hovind is attacking every conclusion of science which contradicts a literal reading of Genesis. I'll call you're totally misunderstanding.
Yeah.
I'm not attacking anything that contradicts Genesis. Genesis is unrelated to this. The fact is, the word evolution does have six meanings.
Yeah.
They want to limit this to biological evolution. I say, wait a minute, where did you get the living creature to evolve? If you don't have a theory that goes back to a beginning, you don't have a complete theory.
Yeah, and I find when people, if you're listening right now, I find that when people understand this and when you share this information with your friends, the six types of evolution, and show them that only one of them has anything to do with science.
Right.
And it's really not even evolution. That really makes them have to step back and really look at the theory in a totally different way.
And even evolutionists, when they comprehend that finally, it hits them like, wow, boy, this is right.
Yeah, it really does.
I did a debate last 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I travel too much, but in California. And the guy wrote and specifically said, I don't want to discuss anything about evolution other than once life is here.
Why would you want to do that?
Why do you want to do that? Because you know the first four steps are impossible to overcome. Where did matter come from? Where did space come from? Where did energy come from? How did life get started from non-living material? So, Carl, the reason I'd spell out on my theory clearly, I'm offering $250,000 for proof for the general theory, because the whole theory, all six parts of evolution, are being taught in the textbooks.
Exactly.
I can show it to you in the 2004 textbooks, the ones that coming out, they're already out, actually, for next year.
Yeah.
I've got them, right? And they are teaching the Big Bang Theory. They are teaching life started from non-living material. They are teaching stars evolved. They are teaching the things that I mentioned. They certainly are teaching macroevolution, which says, you know, dogs and bananas have a common ancestor.
Right.
So, yes, if you want me or my son to pay for this to be taught in the textbooks, then you need to provide an answer. If you can't answer how these things happen, then take it out of the textbook.
Exactly.
I did one debate one time, and the guy said, well, I think we should limit this just to, you know, biological evolution, like Carl says here, you know, once life gets started. I say, well, then are you admitting that you have no evidence for the first five, the first four of stages of my evolution? He says, well, yeah, we probably can't prove any of those. I said, okay, then before we go on, will you then help me get those four out of the textbook. He got real quiet.
I bet he did. Wow.
Take it out of the textbook. It's not part of science.
Yeah.
That ought to be in a religion class, or maybe a fairy tale class, or in a private school.
Yeah.
You want to teach evolution at your expense to kids that want to pay and come learn it? You can teach whatever you want.
For those that don't know the six different types of evolution, while you're looking at what you're going to discuss next with this $250,000 offer, there are basically six types of evolution. First one is cosmic evolution, which is the origin of time, space, and matter. Many evolutionists refer to it as the Big Bang. Second one is chemical evolution, how all this, the chemicals evolve from just hydrogen and helium. Then we have stellar and planetary evolution, correct, how all the stars and planets formed. Fourth is organic evolution, how life came from non-life. Fifth type of evolution is macroevolution. That would be changing from one type of animal into a different type of animal. And then
I use the word kind. Like the Bible says kind.
Kind of animal. That's true.
One kind into another one.
The last type of evolution is microevolution, which, like I said, it's not really evolution because all it is simple variations.
It's not even a good term. I hate the term microevolution, but they use it, so we need to define it. It's a variation. Dogs and wolves probably had a common ancestor. That does not prove dogs and bananas have a common ancestor.
Yeah. And
they don't get it. They just don't get
so many evolutionists say if we could live here and we were around for 100,000 years, we could see the evolution taking place.
And I say that's precisely my point.
Exactly.
We don't observe it, so it's no longer science.
And if it's not science, yet you believe in it, what realm would it have to be put into?
It's a religion.
Exactly right. It has to be put into the realm of religion.
And you can believe it if you want. But I don't want to pay for it.
Exactly.
That's all. It's the case closed, you know. Okay, so Carl says the challenge, he said he thought most people thought his challenge would be in regards to biological evolution. This would be a misconception. Well, no, Carl, it's perfectly correct that all six parts, all six phases or steps, whatever you want to call it, of evolution are taught in the textbooks, and the offer clearly spells out this is what we're talking about. We're not referring to minor changes within the kind, and I'm going to stick with the Bible word kind, because a horse and a zebra are the same kind of animal. A horse and a banana are not, okay? And I think the dividing up of the kinds could be done by a five-year-old in 99% of the cases. There may be a few tricky ones where, I don't know what kind of animal that is. What group is that going? Okay. But a five-year-old can divide up most of the animals into the kinds, okay? For the other ones, you might need a six-year-old to do those, okay? So he says, Hovind is attacking every conclusion of science which contradicts a literal reading of Genesis. Carl, I would take that sentence out. That is simply not true. Okay? Leave that. Take that out of there. And then he's got straw man in red print here. Empirical evidence does not constitute scientific proof because nothing in science is proven, only understood based upon known evidence. I think what they tried to do here, you've probably seen this, Eric, in the last 20 years, they tried to redefine science.
Yeah. And really, we can't know anything.
Yeah, we can't know anything. Right.
Right. The probability of this, you know, of this lid falling is pretty good, but what if on the 1,000,000th time it didn't fall?
Yeah, we can't know.
Oh, we can't know. I think that's retarded.
Okay. Science means knowledge.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. A further definition, you can look it up in most older dictionaries. I wouldn't know about the new ones if I trust them.
Oh, yeah, I got one from 2002, and it had a great definition of science.
Okay.
Systemized knowledge derived from observation and study.
That's what
it is. A great one. Actually, it's on my desk if you want to grab that for me.
Dictionary 2002. Yeah. Okay. So, evolution is outside of the field of science. It is a religion people believe in, which is fine. Hey, you can believe whatever you want. I don't care what you believe. I just don't want to pay for your religion to be taught in the schools. Simple. Okay. And then he lists my observed phenomena from, you can read the article, the $250,000 offer on my website, drdino.com. Read it for yourself. I'm going to just read his comments here. He says, straw man, Hovind has ignored further options. I better read the options. Okay. The choice of how the universe got here, basically, from my website, there's three choices. The universe was created by God. The universe has always existed. The universe came into being by itself by purely natural process known as evolution so that no appeal to the supernatural is needed. And Carl says, Hovind has ignored further options. Among others, these could be, number four, the universe was created by a team of deities. Talk about straining at a gnat,
yeah.
Swallowing a camel. Okay.
Ultimately, that means it was created by a deity. Okay,
God. Number five, the universe was created by a deity or deities using natural methods, theistic evolution. I think that would still fit into category one, the universe was created by God.
Right.
Now, the textbooks, though, don't give that option, Carl. And one of my drives is to correct the textbooks because that's what we're all paying for.
Yeah.
What people believe out there in La La Land doesn't matter to me. What are we paying for? Okay. I'm paying for the kids in this town to be taught the evolution theory And they do not mention theistic evolution as even an option.
We'll have to talk about that in a later program to get into what theistic evolution is, how some people believe that God used evolution to create everything.
We'll what kind of a God would be that dumb
that would
that have to practice and play around, you know? It's not the God of the Bible. It's
Definitely.
Not a God with any brains. It's not a God you'd want to worship.
It's not a God I serve. I know that.
No. The God I served did it right. First time, six days.
He doesn't need
to practice. And plus, the God of evolution would be cruel. I mean, evolution's a cruel process.
Mm-hmm.
One animal evolves a little better than the rest. What must happen to the rest?
They got to die. Which, by the way, is why I believe many people believe in it, because it allows them, especially businessmen. I just spoke at a businessman's luncheon. I believe many businessmen take that idea of evolution because that rationalizes some of the tactics that they use in the business world.
That's what Carnegie did.
Yeah.
Carnegie was a Christian. And then when he read the evolution, he read Darwin's book, got converted to believing in evolution, and said, this is perfect. He said, I'm going to be the most ruthless businessman there is. We're going to build a big steel empire, the Carnegie Empire, and, you know, cutthroat competition. This was Rockefeller's problem. This was people of the late 1800s used evolution to justify the ruthless business practices, which finally led Congress to get into the trust busters and the breaking up the monopolies and stuff like that. Let me go on here.
Okay.
He says, number six, the universe is actually a manifestation of a deity. You're still back on number one, Carl. Take all this out, okay? This is, you're making yourself look a little silly here, which is what many folks in your comment section have said. You know, you're looking kind of silly here, so I'd recommend you take that out. I'm trying to help you, okay? I want to help your image, right? Number seven, the universe is the offshoot of another universe. That goes back into category number three. It's still naturalistic.
And okay. where did that universe come from?
This postpones the problem. It doesn't solve the problem. Number eight, the universe is perpetual. Okay, Carl, the reason I don't mention that as an option, I think that is against all known laws of science, that things, there's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah.
What we observe is first and second laws of thermodynamics, things don't create themselves, and they're winding down.
Everything does tend toward disorder.
Take a look in your sock drawer. You'll see. Okay.
It does.
Everything tends toward disorder. Okay. So number eight is not a logical option. And if somebody wants to believe that, that's fine.
That would make the universe their God, though, wouldn't it?
That's true.
If the universe was eternal, literally the universe would be their God.
Yeah.
You're deifying
that
the
is
universe.
God. Number nine, the universe is a science project of an alien teenager. Well, if you want to go off on this kind of stuff, Carl, you're going to go off all day. Option 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The universe is a science project of a hamster. The universe is a science project of a Come on.
He says
okay.
The length of this list is only limited by our imagination.
Well, I would say he would have a really long list if we're going to go by his imagination here. So
Let's stick with reality here, okay?
Okay. And then he goes back quoting what I said on my website. Evolution has been acclaimed as being the only process capable of causing the observed phenomena. Evolution is presented in our public science textbooks as a process that brought time, space, matter into existence from nothing. And then he has a section here. Straw man. Hovind makes the erroneous claim that the universe originated from pure nothingness numerous times. Okay, Eric, have you seen, in Seminar Part 1, the quotes that we use from Scientific American?
Oh, yeah.
Discover Magazine.
Discover, April of 2002, Discover Magazine said, where did everything come from, you know? And it literally says, from nothing.
The universe burst into something from absolutely nothing.
Zero. Nada. Alan Guth, is the writer of that.
Okay, read the definition of science. This 2002 dictionary.
2002, page 1045. Science. This is Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 10th edition. Here we go. Science is a department of systemized knowledge as an object of study. Studied or learned like systemized knowledge. Knowledge or a system of knowledge covering general truths or the operation of general laws.
Okay.
Tested by through the scientific method.
Scientific method deals with things that are testable, demonstrable. You can do an experiment.
Yeah, it says, here's what you do with the scientific method. You got to have a problem, first of all. What's our problem? When I speak in public schools, I bring this up. According to the scientific method, what is our problem? The kids realize.
Why are we here?
Exactly.
How did we get here? Where are we going?
Why are we here? Where do we come from? Where are we going when we die? Then it says you got to collect data. Uh-oh.
Here's what we've got for data. 6,000 years of human history has shown us dogs produce dogs.
Every single time.
Every time.
Now, we're going to write that down in the data column.
If you want to imagine that sometime long ago and far away, dogs came from non-dogs, okay, you just left science and went to religion.
Now you're outside of all kinds of science.
And I've been tempted to go through a textbook sometime with two different color highlighters and, you know, highlight yellow science statements and pink religion because they mix them. It's just thoroughly mixed in.
And make it seem like it's all the same thing when really there is a distinct difference that that you should be able to watch.
All right. Let's go on here. So Hovind makes the erroneous claim the universe originated from pure nothingness. Well, Carl, that's because that's what the textbooks say and that's what the science journals say. And I show that clearly. Watch my seminar part one, which you can watch right on the website, drdino.com. You can watch it for free. Or if you want to get it from us, you can get it on DVD or VHS or any format you need. We got it. Okay, number two, I state, organized that matter into galaxies, stars, and at least nine planets around the sun. This process referred to cosmic evolution. And Mary Church says, stellar and planetary formation, which has been photographed at least four times by the Hubble telescope, and he gives the things here. Carl, let me explain something to you, which I cover in my seminar, part seven. We've never seen a star form.
No.
We see spots getting brighter.
And even taking a picture would not show a star forming.
True.
I mean, a still photograph would never show a star forming.
Now, since there are about 76 trillion known stars, which amounts to 11 trillion per person on planet Earth,
wow.
The evolutionist has a real problem because he doesn't know how any of them formed. Yet they're there. We see them blowing up all the time, called a nova or supernova. Okay, about every 25 years, we lose a star. When you got that many, who cares? But they have to find a solution for how do we get them. So they come up with this idea that maybe stars are forming in, you know, Crab Nebula or, you know, Orion Cloud or something. What they don't catch is what they're seeing is a spot getting brighter. They're not seeing a star form. A freshman law student could tear this one apart for you, Carl, because it could be the dust is clearing, there's a star behind it. Talk about more of this after the break.
That has ever been presented.
Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is the hour where Dr. Hovind answers his critics. And from the looks of things, it's going to take more than just an hour to answer all your critics. But right now we got a phone call.
All right, yes, Pamela, on line one. Go ahead. Okay, well, let me take one question at a time, Pamela. I can barely hear you. We got a real complex system here. You're saying that I keep calling evolution a religion, and you want to know what definition of religion?
How evolution?
Did you hear that, Eric?
Yeah, how is evolution a religion?
Well, that's why when you define the six meanings of evolution, then it becomes easy. The first five are religious. Only number six is science.
But you're the one who created these six definitions of evolution.
Well, Pamela, how would you divide up the steps?
Yes.
Do you think that the changes we observe, like dogs and wolves having a common ancestor, do you think that is evidence enough to decide that dogs and bananas have a common ancestor?
You're not answering the question. You created six different definitions of evolution. That's not standard science. You are saying that somebody has to prove basically all of those. That's not science. You're creating your own thing.
Pamela, all he's doing is making it very simple to understand what evolution is. When we look at that, if you were to say the word evolution in a public school, most kids think of everything involved with evolution. They think of the Big Bang. They think of, you know, how humans evolved, how stars formed. All we're doing is simplifying it, saying there are actually, when you want to discuss it, you have to know what you're discussing.
We're defining the term. So, yes. Yeah. Okay, let's say that is my definition.
You can't use biological evolution. You're creating things that aren't there and then saying, well, see, that proves that evolution
just happened. Well, now, hold on, Pamela. This is my program. I can do whatever I want. Firstly, okay.
Well, sure, but if anybody who's listening wants to really know what science is, they can look up for themselves instead of taking your word for it or my word for it.
Okay, is it science that dogs and bananas have a common ancestor?
Yes, it is science.
You think that is science? That is something we know from observation. Definition of science.
Definition of science, right here, 2002, Webster's Dictionary, is systemized knowledge derived from observation.
What observation tells us that dogs and bananas, or let's make it easy, dogs and cows. Now we have two mammals, okay? What observation shows us that dogs and cows have a common ancestor?
Things that we can't see.
Oh, yeah, you're throwing up a straw man here. You're mixing apples and oranges.
No, you're saying that you have to be able to see something, and I'm saying we cannot see everything.
I'm saying that the definition of science, if you want to deal with science, which is what you say you want to deal with, if you were trying to call it non-science, we're calling it a religion. If you want to deal strictly with science, then where's the evidence that we see for dogs and cows being related?
There's any anybody who's interested in knowing the truth is not going to be listening to this program. They're going to be calling, they're listening in because they want justification for the belief. If somebody really wants the truth, they look at both sides of the story, and then they make a decision.
Agreed. That's called an education, which is very true. That's what you should
do. And students are not getting that in our public school. They're not getting both sides of the story. They're getting one side. They're getting hammered with this from kindergarten to, you know, to PhD level, that evolution is a fact, evolution is a fact, and it's not a fact. It's just a dumb idea, and it's a religion.
Can we get back to the question of how evolution is a religion?
Well, if it's not science, if you can't prove the dog and the cow are related, yet you want to teach that, but it can't be proved through observation and study, that would take it outside the realm of science.
It's now something you believe happened, but it's no longer observable. So that's religion. You have to believe in it.
You're saying that everything that is not science in the world is a religion.
No, I didn't say that. I say something you believe in, and certainly if you look up the definition of religion, you can check it out. I don't have time on the program today.
Yeah, but
Well, you believe. See, religion, the definition, if I recall, just off the top of my head, is belief in a power or powers that brought the universe into existence. The evolution fits the definition fine. And Pamela, we got a lot of other things to. If we can talk, and you can call in, I don't want to shut you off here too soon, but you haven't really. I think I have answered your question that evolution is a religion by our definition.
Yeah.
You haven't answered it, and you haven't yet changed the topic.
I'm not changing the topic. I'm pointing out that you have to believe that dogs and cows are related.
Well, if you believe in ghosts, I believe the sun's coming up tomorrow. What religion am I?
No, you see the sun coming. If we have known scientific evidence that says the sun will come up, and we understand the science behind why it comes up, we don't ever see cows cows produce anything but cows.
Nobody says that. Nobody is trying to say that cows produce anything.
Pamela,
you're wrong.
Watch my videotape number 4, where I show very clearly, page after page from the textbooks, that says all animals are related.
Yes.
Charles Darwin said, I think they're going to shut off here, Pamela. We're getting a ringing in the system. All the textbooks that I have, and I got them right behind me, a whole row of biology books here and over there, a whole case of them, they do teach that all forms of life are related.
Yeah.
And if they want to believe that, that's fine, but that's no longer science. That's part of their religion. So, Pamela, I appreciate you calling in, and I feel, I guess, sad that you have... either are not understanding there is quite a difference and you are mixing your science and religion, or somebody's taught you that it is science and you fell for it, but they lied to you. Okay, it's not science. Evolution, as by the 6 definitions, only number 1 is 6 is science. The first 5 are indeed something religious. What do they have?
And there's not much you can argue with about that.
Here
we go, religion.
There's a long definition of religion, if I recall. A bunch more AOL instant message here. We got about 40 of them. While you look that up and summarize that, let me read a few of these real quick. AOL instant messages. Let's see, I got a bunch already sent her earlier. When's the last time you updated the seminars? Last couple months. They're fresh 2003 series. From Fierce 321, I don't understand how we see stars trillions of miles away. Oh, that's answered thoroughly on Seminar Part 7 about the starlight question.
Check it out on drdiner.com.
Yeah, JMK1611. Is it true there are more people living than all people that have ever lived? Nobody knows for sure. It's possible. There are 6 billion today. It is possible that there are more today than the total of those that have died. You couldn't prove that. We don't know how many were alive before the flood, but it's possible.
But it's definitely possible.
One more here. You ready? Okay. I'm an electrician at a state college today. While wiring a hood in the biology department, I asked my teacher to show me 2- and 3-celled creatures to prove we came from 1-celled, and he said there aren't any because multi-celled creatures must be more complex and cells split up the workload. Then he said a sponge is closed with only hundreds of cells. It can develop from 1 cell. This is the proof he offered for evolution. Does this mean Bob Sponge is intermediate? No, this is ridiculous. There are no 2-celled or 3-celled creatures. This is a major obstacle for the evolutionists having to answer, you know, why aren't there any? I mean, if evolution really happened, there ought to be a whole series of events from 1-celled to multicell. The simplest we have are generally more like colonies of cells that work together. But when you get from single cell to multicell, there's a massive gap in there of information that they have no explanation for. Here, Gideon 524 writes, and heard about a teacher in North Carolina tell one of her students who requested a printout of the Lord's Prayer that it was illegal to print it out. This teacher needs to get a job picking features or changing tires, okay?
An honest job, yeah.
An honest
That's
job.
That's not true.
That's not true, yeah. You can print out the Lord's Prayer, okay?
You can Bible school if you want. You can witness to other kids if you want. Don't let any teacher tell you it's illegal.
And you can go to Congress and see Bible verses printed all over the place,
yeah.
Okay? Go to wallbuilders.com. They've got a lot of stuff on the history of our government and our country and how it's supposed to be run, and it was based on Christian principles.
Yeah.
Okay, study Y45. What does the Bible say about time? Is one day to us the same as to God, or is it 1,000 years? Two verses that refer to that are 2 Peter 3, where it says a day is like 1,000 years, and Psalm 90, where it says yesterday is like 1,000 years. Neither of those verses are saying God is limited by time. God is right now in yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he's in all time. He's in all time and in all places. If he was limited by time, space, or matter, he would not be God. They would be God. We've covered that in other broadcasts. Find anything there?
Yeah, religion right here. I'm going to go down to definition number 4 to get right to what it is. It states, you know, a service and worship of God or the supernatural. Definition number 4 says a cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. There's no doubt about it. Evolution would fit that.
You hold to this. You believe it strongly,
yeah.
And they believe me. They're
it's a cause, principle, system of beliefs. This is a. It really has its own system of beliefs. Evolution does.
Yep, it does. Okay, here's Mr. Nomak writes in, hello, I have a question about Hawaii. My teacher says it was made over millions of years by a hole in a tectonic plate. I'll stop right there and say he's probably right that Hawaii is a hot spot, a hole in a tectonic plate. The plates are shifting and moving, and the lava's coming up in Hawaii. I've been there 3 times to preach, 4 times today. But yes, it's a hot spot. However, I wouldn't buy the millions of years part. It could have formed in 30 seconds, okay, under proper conditions, you know, a few thousand years ago, which I think is answered with the biblical flood. I cover that in part 6.
But you finishing that one?
No, finish it. He said an underwater volcano erupted lava through the hole, making an island. I agree. Kind of like liquid coming out of an eyedropper. I agree. Then are the plates moved and made a new island. I agree. That's correct. Except for the millions of years part, that is all correct, Andy. He's right. Hawaii is a hot spot.
Dr. writes in, says you guys need a Pamela time limit. I agree. I think we did answer, Pamela, if you're still listening, I think we did answer that question very correctly. Evolution, when you really honestly want to step back and look at it, and this is difficult for many evolutionists to understand and to accept that evolution is a religion. And when you put it in those terms, it's very difficult to understand that and for them to accept that.
Let's talk about time limits. You realize how many students have to sit an hour a day for a semester or for a year and get evolution crammed at them?
Yeah.
And they gripe and we get, you know, 1 hour.
And I really wanted to point out, I would like to take as much time as necessary to show Pamela the truth and to get her to realize that. But with the time restraints we have, we simply can't do that.
It goes back to plowing the backyard. You know, if you got good dirt and hard rock, you know, you spend your time on the
dirt.
Plow the good dirt.
That's right.
First. You take time for the rock if there's time. But, okay, there's so many that want to hear, and they're emailing us saying, you know,
yeah.
I want to hear the truth. Okay. Study Y45 writes in again. What does the Bible say about time? Oh, we did that already. Fierce, how do we see stars? Trillions of light years away. Jonathan, we got duplicates in here. There we go. Hovind is great. He makes these people look stupid. Gideon, 542. Gideon, appreciate that.
We don't want them to look stupid necessarily.
I think it is stupid to believe he came from a rock. However, our goal is really to win them.
Yeah.
We're not trying to hurt anybody here. And we have won many thousands, probably tens of thousands to the Lord.
Many atheists and evolutionists have been converted. Because
we're here to help. Honestly, we got the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And so many write to us and say, I can't believe that I believed that evolution theory for so long.
Yeah. Because it really is. It blinds you. It truly does.
One guy said, he drove me to the church, to the airport about a month ago. He's Brother Hovind. He said, my wife can't watch your tapes. It gives her a headache. I said, what? He said, yeah, every time she watches, she goes, duh, why didn't I think of that? We try to keep it simple, okay? We operate about fourth grade level around here. We really want to keep it simple, and I think that's what frustrates the atheists.
Definitely.
Many of the creationist guys that are out speaking are brilliant, but they're only reaching the top, you know, 1% of the intellectuals. We put cookies on the lower shelf where the average person can get it, and that really frustrates the atheists because what we're doing is effective.
They try to use the big words and the educational backgrounds to sound real smart, and therefore you can't understand it, but it's true because it's science.
I taught school 15 years, and I can assure you, when you ask for an essay answer, the longer the answer, the less they know about it. Okay, they're trying to snow you. Okay, they hope you just weigh it and give them an A without actually reading it. You know, they talk and talk and talk. That means they know nothing. Okay, let me finish with one thing here, and we're going to run out of time. Carl writes on his geocities.com, Kent Hovind. I'm still on only this third section. He says, stellar and planetary formation has been photographed 4 times by the Hubble Space Telescope. Carl, you're mistaken, okay? They might have told you that, and they might believe that, okay, but that's simply not correct. Nobody has photographed a star forming. There are known laws of science called Boyle's gas laws that would prevent dust from accumulating into a solid and then getting dense enough to create a star. One atheist told me, well, the solution to overcoming Boyle's gas laws, he said if 20 stars exploded near each other, it would produce enough energy to squeeze the dust together and make a new star. I said, that's brilliant, sir. You've got to lose 20 to gain one. Okay. First place, this is theoretical. We don't observe that. Secondly, you ought to run for Congress, man. You could help those guys borrow their way out of debt.
Losing 20 to gain one.
Lose 20 to gain one. That explains how we got these 76 trillion of them.
The Bible says it best. Professing themselves to be wise, they became
fools.
That's yep. Exactly right.
Psalm 14, Psalm 51. Yep. Okay, folks, tomorrow we're going to do this several days in a row here. So if you get some skeptics to write in, if you want to get a hold of the editor of some of these sites, call in. Now, I'm going to hold you to your word, Carl. You said you'd correct things, and I'm telling you some things to correct. So by the time this tape gets out in a few weeks, when we get done editing in pictures and stuff, if we need to, some of you folks watching this may find he actually made some corrections. If he's an honest man, he'll make the corrections.
Yes.
Listen, if you're listening today and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, why not? Why on earth would you want to go to hell? Okay, God loves you. He wants to save you. 35 years ago, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me and save me. And that's the purpose of our ministry. If you want to know more about it, go to our website, drdino.com, and click How to Get Saved. Call us and write us about it. Thanks a lot. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.